Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are listening to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates, where two members of the Checkpoint team get downright intimate, one-on-one, mano-y-mano, down and dirty. My name is Cameron, and as you heard, I'm joined by the lovely Edie. Hello.
So lovely, you gave yourself an accent. Hi. Yeah,
it's how I roll. Lovely accents all over the place.
Did me justice.
Yeah, lovely. Lovely. Which is, I'm sure, what all our listeners are here to listen to, me just say that over and over.
Yep.
So get ready for 20 minutes of lovely.
Okay, now what's the real topic?
Yeah,
though?
Now what's it? Now, today, you're joining me here to talk about a very cool little topic. Today on the main show on Checkpoint, we spoke with the CTO of
Zero Latency,
which is a VR mixed with real world kind of game where you kind of cross the boundaries between the two in this cool kind of warehouse experience.
Yeah, you're strapped up to a lot of technology. That was probably like 2 kilos worth of technology at least.
Yep.
And you're running around a warehouse, but it doesn't really feel like that because all the effects and stuff are pretty cool.
Yeah. And so that got us thinking about kind of these real world gaming experiences where you get to blend what you know and love about gaming with what you know and love about being in the real world.
Physical games.
Yeah, physical games.
As much as we love video games, sometimes you got to get outside. You got to move your muscles.
Yeah, it's
so
that old,
you don't get atrophy.
It's that old square eyes.
Yeah.
I remember when those ads existed.
I haven't heard that phrase since my mom stopped bothering me about video games.
But so I think one of the things that this really started with me, do you remember when you used to go on school camp and you'd have like the obstacle course day where you all had to work as a team to get through,
yes,
and be like, everyone has to get over, but you only have 3 logs and da, 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 da.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That was by far, I think, my favorite experience from going to camps when I was a kid. Like those kind of interactive moments where you got to go and just, it was a playground essentially that you got to go and be silly on and have fun with a group.
For me, I found there was something viscerally exciting about having a physical task that I had to achieve with other people.
Yeah.
There's a feeling that you don't get when you're playing video games versus when you're actually out there doing it with your real hands.
100%. And so I think what we wanted to touch on was those kind of, you know, the enjoyment that you get from those. And now probably the biggest one that's really booming at the moment, it's just everywhere. There's now even a horror movie about them.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that.
I don't think you should from what I've heard.
Yeah.
And it's the world of escape rooms.
I do love escape rooms. I've been to a good couple.
Escape rooms exploded.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm very glad. It's deserving the hype.
Here in Melbourne alone, I think there are 10 different outlets that offer it just in the kind of inner city area in terms of, you know, sometimes it's just attached to another business. Sometimes it's a business on its own.
I think there's one in Crown now, like near the casino, like near the bowling alley.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, that's the kind of thing that I would expect to see there. Like, they've taken off. Now, I have done a couple. I haven't done a huge amount. It's the kind of thing that I wish I did more of. But you, I believe, have done quite a few. And I know Luke, our valiant leader, has done so many.
I definitely haven't done as many as Luke. I've done, I think, perhaps, I think 3.
Okay.
Planning on doing more in the future. My favorite one was, and I don't remember where this place was, unfortunately, but it was themed around a mine collapse. And you had to find where the collapse was and help those trapped get out. And you had a time limit on that, obviously, because they only had a limited time to survive. And my best moment of satisfaction came when I solved this very interesting puzzle that nobody else in my team noticed but me. Like, I solved it. It was me. Like, that kind of satisfaction is so great. And I... is pretty hard to replicate in other things.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that kind of that... It also lets you lend to perhaps a group of friends that aren't into gaming. So when I did one for my birthday, we all went with my group of friends, and I had a bunch of people who aren't gamers in any way, shape, or form, but they love puzzle solving, and they love that kind of thing. And so when we're all in there together, it was phenomenal. One of them at the very beginning, and it was such an interesting interaction, one of us had to start inside a coffin.
No way. So one of them was cool.
One of them was put on a coffin with like a glass thing that we could see through to, and we couldn't really hear each other properly. We could hear each other a little bit, and we had to like quickly work to get them out of the coffin before they could join us for the rest of the experience.
That's very cool.
Yeah, and then so like by getting them out, they were wearing a jacket that had a clue inside the hem. Yeah. And so like when they got out, they were like, they made me put this jacket on. There must be something about this jacket. So we went across the jacket and we found the next thing. It's that mix of kind of like, it lets you use some real old school puzzling that just wouldn't work in video games.
Yeah, that's true. And there are a bunch of very funny situations that can come out of it. You told me one just before about a group that you went with.
Yeah, well, basically one of our friends, we walked into a room and there was a skeleton that was sitting up the front of the room on a pew, and we all saw it, but one of our friends was so focused on looking for clues that she had no idea it was there until she went and sat down next to it and put her hand on its leg thinking it was me, being like, Cam, what will we do? Got a bony leg, absolutely lost her mind.
Oh,
went screaming, running to the against the wall, and was just like, what the hell was that?
And funnily enough, my funny story happened in the same escape room as that one. That was a vampire-themed one.
It was, yes.
And in that same room that I did at a different time, we were stuck for clues because we just hadn't found anything with a clue on it. And then, like, 15 minutes before our time was about to run out, and we did end up not being able to escape in time because of this, one member of our group says, oh, I probably should have told you guys I found this sheet of paper in the jacket pocket.
Jesus.
And which is so funny because I know that in real life you find a scrap of paper in somebody's pocket and it doesn't mean anything. It's not a clue. And it's so, but if he had found that scrap of paper while he was playing a video game, it would have been immediately obvious that it was a clue.
Oh, there would have been a sound cue. It would have zoomed
like
in on
LA
it.
Noir style. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. So I found that very interesting, that his mind was in a different place. And it didn't occur to him that it was something important.
Yeah, your video game brain turns off in these experiences. So there are a couple of others that I want to touch on. One that you and I didn't get to take part of, but I know Elliot and Luke took part of it, I think back in 2016, maybe early 2017, and they had an absolute ball with this. It's a thing called Zedtown.
Right.
Now, Zedtown is essentially, I think there was 400 people part of this, and you all start with Nerf guns, you're put in like a park, and essentially released, and what you have to do is survive, and at the very beginning there are four people who start as zombies, and they'll walk up and they'll touch you, and if they touch you, you have to go over to a special tent, and you get your makeup done, and now you're a zombie.
The makeup part is so exciting to me.
I love that.
That's such a great touch.
Yeah, that little added detail. And so then what will happen is that person's a zombie, and the zombies add to their... And so if you shoot one of them, they do die, and they have to go back to the respawn location before they can come back and go after you again. Now, this goes for close to 6 to 7 hours.
That's insane.
Which is... amazing in my eyes.
No, that's a great idea, and I'm really excited to take part in whenever the next one is.
Yeah,
I just
right?
really
like,
want to now.
That's an experience that I can fully get behind. Luke spoke about the fact that, you know, after a while there's, you know, a special evacuation that you can get to win, but essentially it gets to the point where it's just, you know, he spoke of, I think, like 380 zombies just all closing in on this group of 20 survivors.
Yeah, well, it's going to test my anxiety playing this because... The fact that the zombies, when you shoot them, they go to a respawn point. They don't die. So there is no way for
infinite.
To reduce the amount of zombies.
Yep.
These zombies are only ever going to get larger in number. And that's terrifying.
And I feel like all of this comes from something that has existed in like the physical gaming world, if we say that, for such a long time. When you look at things like laser tag and paintball.
Yeah.
But what it's doing is it's taking what is essentially a fairly... the stock standard. I don't think I've ever been to like a laser tag or at paintball, where they try to make it more than it's like you're in laser tag or you're just in paintball, just like shoot each other.
We're all on the same page here. You're gonna shoot each other with guns, and whoever shoots each other the most wins.
Yeah, so it's interesting that they're taking these kind of experiences that we would have all grown up with. We'd all know them very well, and instead now what we're getting is these quite exciting backdrops for them.
Yeah. And a backdrop is sometimes just all you need.
Yeah. And it's like things like with the escape rooms, there is that tendency for them to just be like, you're in a room, find your way out. But I do know there's one that's opened up here in Melbourne that's currently considered one of the best escape rooms in the world. And it's called Yukio. And it's got a real kind of Studio Ghibli vibe. You all have masks that do different things to get you through the story, and it's much more narrative based. You know, people were saying it reminds them of things like Zelda, and those kind of experiences. So I think we're getting to a point where the world is starting to catch up. And do you feel like back when you were younger, this is the kind of thing that you would have been a little embarrassed about?
I honestly don't think so. I've never been a kid that was embarrassed by any of my behavior.
Right, no shame.
You might be able to guess that about me.
I'm shocked.
But I can imagine for some kids it would have been hard to do. They might have felt like they were at a point in their lives where they had to start liking more quote-unquote grown-up things.
Yeah, and I find it quite interesting.
Funnily enough, me and my friends call it the Pokemon effect. You know, when you're playing, very young child, you play Pokemon and it's all gravy. Everyone's playing Pokemon. But then suddenly you have to stop liking Pokemon and start liking more adult things. And then you get to university and everyone's playing Pokemon again.
Yeah, yeah. It's that thing where I think, like, you know, as a kid, I remember the first day of high school, I turned up, year seven, I turned up with action figures. And I got absolutely red for filth.
Oh, no.
And I never took action figures again. I suddenly didn't care about action figures. It has that feeling to me, these things that I enjoyed as a kid, you know, now I can get to do them and I don't feel the shame for doing them in the way that they're being presented anymore. I remember when I first went to Zero Latency, I received tickets for it for my birthday from my father, who was really happy for me to go. And I remember someone else was at this dinner where I was given the tickets, and they were like, oh, that's a kid's thing to do. And I was like, well, cool.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for that input.
Thanks. Great feedback.
And I bring this up because I want to talk about something that's always existed in the physical gaming world, and it's been around for so long, and that's LARPing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So can you walk me through what LARPing is for those that may not know?
So, it stands for live action role-playing. Some people might be familiar with the tabletop role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons, stuff like that. It's a very, very similar concept, instead of it just being rolling dice on a table, you take it outside into the world, you get fully into character. A lot of people create props for this. They will speak as their character. And two others... To onlooking people, it can seem a bit weird. And so there's a bit of a stigma around it, unfortunately, which is totally unwarranted in my opinion. I mean, you also have historical reenactments, but somehow that's better than LARPing.
Yes.
It doesn't have the same stigma. It's
the
weird.
The backdrop suddenly, for it being fantasy, suddenly we're like, that's silly. And it's like, well, no,
yeah.
It's the same thing. Like...
Yeah.
I don't understand how that would be any different.
It can be really, really impressive to watch because you get people who will make at home their own armor and actually don it, and it's proper armor. It's heavy. It would actually protect them in a sword fight.
I think it's quite interesting because you see a lot of these people get really invested in LARPing. And I know that one of my friends, she has a apartment. And when you sit on the balcony, you can see there is in Kensington, there's a oval there that has a fairly regular LARPing meetup. And you can actually sit on her balcony and watch them LARPing from her balcony.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so interesting to see the numbers that turn up versus what this weird stigma is around it, because a lot of people are taking part. And you see these people who have dedicated a portion of their life to this, to the fact that, you know, I find it quite interesting that I see people training in, like, old weapons that won't have been used in history for hundreds of years, but these people are so dedicated to enjoying themselves that they've gone and learnt how to properly use a flail. I can guarantee you a flail has not been used in combat, actually, for quite some time.
It should be. Bring back flails 2K19.
Yeah, I love flails. Let's do it. Like, flails are fantastic.
You and me do it, yeah.
Yeah, we're just going to walk around with flails all the time now.
Open carry, baby.
Yeah. Oh, well, that got awkward. But yeah, it's this thing that I think, do you think that with D&D suddenly becoming very popular and acceptable for adults to do over the last probably like 5 years, I'd say?
Yeah, thanks to like stuff like streaming and...
Yeah, Adventure Zone, Critical Hit, those kind of things.
More people are exposed to it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so because of those... Do you think that LARPing is something that is becoming more acceptable?
I really hope so. I've not heard much of it even in my own circles.
Yep.
I don't dedicate as much of my time to D&D as a lot of other people do. But I haven't really heard much of it coming back. At the same time, though, stigma for these types of things are in general reducing.
Yes.
So I'm really hopeful that LARPing will start to get more exposure because it's a really cool thing to be part of and just to watch.
Yeah, I just think these games in the real world as a general, I feel things like the escape room have done a great job of, Susan from finance, who may not fully understand it, she, you know, goes to a escape room with some of her girlfriends for a laugh and now is like, that was a lot of fun. I kind of get where people come from with doing these kind of activities. And that just builds up. And so then when someone says, I'm going to zero latency, it's like VR, but you're in a warehouse and you're all there together. They go, that sounds really interesting. I've done an escape room before. Like, it opens up that conversation. Yeah. So I feel like escape rooms becoming so popular has started to open up this idea that you can do these less traditional real world things more often.
Yeah.
And I think... one thing that I want to see, and I'll end on this one. I don't think it exists, and I'd love for someone to let me know if it does. I would love to hear if it does. But you know how there's those like scavenger hunters that run around the city?
Yeah.
Like, you always see them. And if you've ever worked in retail within the CBD, you've probably had someone come in and be like, I need, you know, to take a photo with someone who works in a shop. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure, and then you get like five other people all wearing different matching colors run in and do it as well.
There's also stuff like geotagging.
Yes.
Yeah, geotagging. Or caching, I think.
And so I'd be really interested in seeing if we could do something with that, mixing with, you know, your escape rooms, your LARPing, all that kind of stuff, and get some like RP, like role-playing scavenger hunts. And get those going around. I feel like that'd be so interesting and fun.
That'd be really cool. It'd be fun to play. I think it'd be fun for people to watch as well.
Yeah.
Even if it's just to like look on in confusion as all these people in costumes race around the city.
I'd love some kind of like Dresden Files. There's like cryptids in the city and we've got to find them kind of situation going on. I feel like that would just be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's just this stigma around these kind of games. It's lessening. And I feel like we should be able to properly embrace all these like real world enjoyment out in the real world much more freely.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, thank you for joining me, Edie, to talk about real world gaming. Are you going to go LARPing with me now?
Yes.
I'm going to be a warrior. What will you be?
Oh, I'm a rogue gal. Always a rogue.
See, I'd go a wizard, but I just don't have the time to study all those spells.
Yeah, see, the wizard is the one where you actually have to study it. Be a sorcerer, because that's innate power from within.
I know what I'll be. I'll be a bard, and I'll just be, you know, playing a lute and being sexy in the corner.
Well, you could have a lute, but you can choose your instrument, so you can be a bit creative with it.
This is going a bit too in-depth for my ending joke.
Okay, sorry.
So I'm going to wrap that up. But yeah, again, thank you for joining me, and everyone, stay tuned. You can hear more Checkpoint Intimates. You can download it on iTunes and Stitcher. But until next time, bye.
See ya.